Hi, everybody. This is the Ramble Redhead, and I just wanted to get into the part 7 of the interview with Gene and Tim. And we're primarily talking to Gene right now, as you well know from listening to all the previous episodes. And what I wanted to do is just do some other closing questions for Gene, and then I'm sure that if they're both willing, that they'll be on the show again later, because they do have a lot of things they'd like to share, and I think would be very important for you to listen to. And you know, Gene, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, I know we kind of ended at the last episode where you're talking about, you know, how the two of you had just started, and how, as far as into relationship, and how that grew, and I was just wondering if you could, you know, maybe talk a little bit more about, like, what happened, like, from years 3, you know, on, and, you know, if you could give, like, a brief description, because I think you then, after being in Florida, you went to Vermont, and like you mentioned, you were very crucial in the civil, or, I'm getting all my thoughts messed up here, but
I did start getting involved in that, and Tim and I, we were together for three or so years, and it was time for me to decide whether or not I was going to re-enlist, and it was also time for Tim to rotate back to sea duty. So we knew we were going to be leaving Orlando, and a dear friend of mine talked us into taking a look at Vermont, and we drove up to Vermont on what amounted to a house hunting expedition, and fell in love with it. It doesn't take long for that to happen. Anybody who's seen Vermont, it's a strikingly beautiful place. And there's something very special about the way Vermonters live their lives with each other, too. So we moved up to Vermont, and then Tim had to report back down to New London, Connecticut, to go back to sea on a submarine. And I was up there in Vermont. And so I became a civilian. Actually, my first job was I went to work for the State Welfare Department, and I would drive down every weekend when Tim was in port and bring him back up home. And after a while, he just decided that he was going to get out of the Navy because it was impossible for us to have lives together with we couldn't be open about who we were. I mean, there are a lot of straight couples who have happy and successful relationships in the military, but because we had to keep our relationship a secret, that possibility wasn't open for us. So it ended up with both of us out of the Navy and living in Vermont. And I got more involved in activism than Tim did. I did a lot of that, and he supported me tremendously. And as a consequence, we were involved in the eventual passage of the Civil Rights Bill in 1992. Howard Dean was governor, and we and one other person were the only ones who were invited to the bill signing ceremony. I was kind of surprised at that. Here's an interesting tale that I've never told publicly. The day the bill was signed, the governor was waiting in the ceremonial office in the State House in Montpelier, Vermont. And we went over to the State House with our friend Keith Gosland for the bill signing. And Vermont's a unique place in many respects. One of them is the nearly complete absence of a police presence in government buildings. The State House never had a large presence of armed guards or anything like that. But that morning, there were state troopers all over the place, and they had their dogs with them, too. And it seemed as though something unusual was going on. One of the troopers was standing in the lobby of the State House, and someone had penciled a sign on a piece of cardboard saying that it's Meet the Drug Dog Day. That was obviously some kind of last-minute attempt to cover up while they were really there. And nobody's ever confirmed this, but I left convinced that there had been bomb threats in the State House because the word got out that the governor was going to sign the Civil Rights Bill.
Wow.
Yeah, that's never never been confirmed, and I never had a chance to talk with Governor Dean about that. It would be interesting to see if somebody followed that up.
Wow.
But we were also involved in the founding of Vermont Cares, which is Vermont Committee for AIDS Resources, Education, and Services. That was the first AIDS services organization in Vermont. And I also became the first openly gay graduate of the Military College of Vermont. When I got out of the Navy, I went back to finish my degree.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I ended up at Norwich University, where I felt terribly unwelcome.
Wow.
But what the heck? I'd spent 10 years in the Navy defending their right to whatever crummy attitude they wanted. So I graduated magna cum laude as the first openly gay graduate of that college.
Wow.
Yeah, it was interesting.
That's amazing.
Well, it was funny going back into a quasi-military environment, and it didn't take long for a number of cadets to start coming out to me. In fact, one scenario repeated itself over and over again. I'd be sitting in the library in some dark corner doing some research for something or reading, and some young cadet would from the Corps of Cadets of the Military College would slowly work his way over towards me, and they were looking pretty upset, and it always turned out that they wanted to have a talk because they were gay, and they were having a hard time handling the pressure of being in the closet and dealing with the issues as they pertain to the military and stuff like that. So That was an especially important experience, and I'd like to think that my just being there helped a couple of people over some hurdles that they seemed to be having a tough time with.
So, what did you do for them? You were just there to listen, and how did they react after they talked with you then?
Well, some of us became close friends. Some of them became terrified and kept their distance. But at first, it always started out the same way. I mean, more often than not, the first thing that I needed to do was give them some space to have a bit of a cry, because they needed to just let out some pressure. They were under a tremendous amount of pressure. There was a very hostile attitude at the military college about gay people, and it was not just from the students in the Corps of Cadets. Some of it came from people in the administration. This despite the fact that Vermont had legally become the most gay-friendly state in the Union. There was still a tremendous amount of negativity at the Military College of Vermont. And I would venture to guess that it's still pretty much that way. It's part of the legacy of the military ban. But just being there for them to talk to, and I guess in some respects being a role model, someone who had a successful military career with some medals and an honorable discharge, and a relationship with another person in the military, who has even more medals than I do and an honorable discharge. And I also, I have a lot of straight friends from the military college, and I've even received some letters in years since graduating, which was in 1990. I can remember one especially from a former classmate who told me that he was on a U.S. Navy ship. He was an officer on a ship. And he found out that the guy that he shared his stateroom with was gay, and he would have never been able to handle that if it hadn't been for getting to know me first. And there's nothing heroic about what I did. It was just being there and being out and being comfortable in my own skin.
I just want to say before you go on is that I think what you say to me about my show and what I'm doing, I think that you need to, as much as I find it hard to, you know, as you mentioned that you call me a hero for doing what I'm doing.
Well, you are.
But I think you are in the same way, because like you just said, you were able to change that fellow, officer. You changed his, and that straight person, you changed his mentality of being a gay person and what it was like, and you changed it so he was able to be more accepting to that person that he was rooming with. So, I mean, you are a hero in that regard, and you helped, you know, so many people that came to you that obviously trusted you and talked with you and obviously, you know, believed in what you were and who you are and the relationship that you have. So, and then when I tell you about, you know, the fact that you and Tim have been together for 24 years, I mean, that is a heroic thing. And I know that your point about how it should be just a normal everyday thing. But the thing is that until it does change, you know, we need to continue to have more people like you two who are outspoken about their relationship and about who they are and what they are and that, you know, it can happen. And then hopefully as more, you know, people that are, you know, finding that someone and they're able to spend their lives together and work together and be a partner in the true sense of the word, then things will change. And so I want you, just as much as you say it to me and I have a tough time accepting it, I want you to turn it back onto you and remember the great things that you did. So,
well, I mean, it's really kind of you to say that. And I guess you make an important point that as long as we need it the way that we do today, I guess it is heroic just to be who you are. And there are some costs involved. I mean, I got some grief. For 2 years, and here I was, a decorated, honorably discharged, disabled veteran at this place where they basically worship the military in the guise of providing an education. And every Wednesday morning for 2 years, on my way to German class, I would get spit on from the third floor of that classroom building.
Wow.
And you just live through it. You know, I mean, all I had to do was show up to win.
Yep.
So it's funny. I mean, I guess you could say it was heroic, although I didn't. I mean, I'm nobody's, you know, best example of a heroic. There are people who have done much more significant things than I ever even thought about doing. But, I mean, being who you are under certain circumstances can take some effort, can take some courage, but what you stand to get out of it is a lot more than whatever the costs were that you might incur. I mean, to think that those young people finally had someone they could look to, and there are a lot better examples than me. There are a lot better role models than I've ever been. But to be able to think, you know, all I had to do is be there and show them, hey, you know what? Hey, you can live through coming out. You can even live through coming out and being in the military if that's what you want. I guess that's a pretty rewarding feeling. It does feel good. And it's what's going to make the change. It's what's going to make the change. I mean, I was working when I was getting my degree, but Tim was working even harder because, you know, I was getting a living stipend from the VA, but Tim was really, you know, the one going out and earning the bread while I was finishing my college degree. And he would come home late at night, and there I'd be either, you know, studying German verbs or sitting in the living room with some classmates having pizza or something like that. You know, what he did was as heroic. I mean, if I had to go through all of that, he did too. And when we went down to the State House to testify for 7 years, we had to keep working on the Civil Rights Bill. It took 7 years to get that bill through. And Tim was down there, and he was confronted with the same things that I was. The fundamentalist churches would order their people to show up and get on a bus and go to the State House in Montpelier, and they would scream at us. I remember, you know, I mean, I'm sure otherwise perfectly nice people screaming at the top of their lungs, and the wages of sin is death!
Wow.
and all these horrible things. And the legislators would talk about how the hate mail was delivered in the wash baskets full.
Wow.
And you just keep going.
Yep.
You just keep going. And you know, is it possible that they're going to pick one or two people off along the way? Yeah. I mean, there was one guy who was beaten senseless during that effort. One night when he left the one gay bar in Vermont. But you just keep going. You just keep going. You go. You gather together with your community. You take strength in their presence, like Tim and I took strength in each other's presence. And you keep going, and you go, and you go, and then you're going to win. It has its cost, but the cost of not doing it is even greater.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, even the way Tim and I felt, I think the first time we ever publicly acknowledged our relationship was when we were testifying at the State House in front of the legislature on behalf of the Civil Rights Bill. And that's a part of our story. I mean, we sit here, we talk now, we look back on things, and we look back on the things that we've done, the things that we've participated in, and it's the building blocks for a good life.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
It
that's
is.
Incredible. That could be a whole show, just what your involvement in that, you know, the civil rights thing. I mean, that could be a whole another topic, and the, you know, just what you had to go through, and you know, it's just, I mean,
it's
amazing. So I mean, that's incredible. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, we finally ended up leaving Vermont because the economic situation in Vermont was so bad that it was hard to get and keep good jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we both had incredibly good offers down in Miami, Florida. Tim had made quite a reputation for himself as a financial investigator for the State Department of Banking and Insurance, and he was heavily recruited by the Comptroller's Office in Florida, and I was in line to become the director of the Miami-Dade Historic Preservation Division.
Wow.
Yeah. So we moved down to Miami. We ended up hating it, and when the opportunity to move back up to Michigan, which, I mean, we're right down the street from where Tim was born and raised.
Wow. So it's so amazing, because I wanted to ask Tim, but I guess I didn't get a chance. But see, the thing that was so amazing is that the whole purpose of one of the reasons why he wanted to leave the military was because of where he was from and the atmosphere. But the ironic thing is that where is he now? He's right back where he started. So it's kind of...
Yeah, but on his terms.
Right, I know. I mean, it's on a good thing, because you could just tell by the way he ended that, you know, our interview, that he's happy doing what he's doing up there with you and you know, having the property and the animals and the, you know, and working on his car and you working in the wood shop stuff. So, I mean, it's just amazing how... You know, it turned full circle, but I mean, it was a good thing for him. But I didn't mean it to be a negative. But I'm just saying it was just amazing.
I didn't think so.
I just thought it was amazing how he started one way, and then he ends up, you know, going back. But like you said, but on his terms and in a much different, happier, healthier way, because he felt that at the beginning that it would be a negative if he stayed, but now he's seeing it as a positive and spending the, you know, the time with you. And so,
you know, it's something I. He's sitting in the living room, and I'm sure he can hear me, and I don't know if he's going to be embarrassed hearing me say this kind of stuff, but he's quite an extraordinary person, and I consider myself the luckiest guy in the world, and I can't tell you the degree to which I really mean that. I mean, an incredible sense of integrity, which is something that's really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's a doer. He realizes life is not a spectator sport, and he's made a significant difference in everything that he's done, and I don't think he ever set out with the goal that, you know what, I want to make this contribution to the world around me in some big way or anything like that, but he's had a significant impact wherever he's been.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, and in the opinion of a lot of other people whose opinion I value, the impact has been much for the better. And he's really the only member of his family to leave home for any real significant length of time. And it's given him a sense of independence. It's funny. I mean, we do our share of headbutting, but I think what's really important is that we're both people who respect other people as, you know, to the greatest extent we can, and prefer to be around other people who want to live their lives in some full way.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we've had our headbutting moments.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are even funny. I think the first really big argument that we had was down when we were down in Orlando. And it was such a shouting match that at the end of it, we realized we only had two options. We could either break up or we could go to the movies, which was what the argument started about. We went to the movies.
Wow.
And we told our friends about it. And every time after that, they found out that we had gone to the movies. They're like, is everything okay? Did you guys have another argument? Is everything all right?
Yeah.
So I think we're about 150 movies ahead now. So we need to have 150 arguments.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I just want to ask you one more question. In a way... Without you knowing it, you probably answered the question, but I was wondering if you might want to add any more to it, because one of the things I always love to ask, you know, when I'm talking to a couple is obviously, well, two questions. Number one is that the one I think is most important, and I think it's important to understand as a couple, because believe me, I know I've been there, done that, and I know that it's very important to always remember that you are with someone else, and that they are part of your life, and that they do provide a tremendous amount of value and love and support. And I guess if you would look back over the years of the time that you've been with him, and I was just wondering, is there a particular moment that really showed you, you know, that Tim was the one?
You only want one moment?
Well, you can give me as many as you want, but I mean just...
Well, because we keep having those moments.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was a first one, I'm sure, but there have been so many of them over the years that...
Okay, well, give me a couple, or one that stands out the most for you, or, I mean, you can say as many as you want, and I just, you know... It's your show. You go for it.
You don't have that much time. I mean, I've got 23 years of moments.
Yeah.
And you know, that's well, I'll tell you the first one, and I didn't know it at the time. I only became aware of it in retrospect. I actually had, I think it was 6 weeks off in the Navy. I had 6 weeks of time off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was home for 6 weeks, and Tim wasn't. You know, I mean, he came home every night and stuff like that, but I was home every day, all day for 6 weeks. So I went and did this and that thing. Anyway, one day, he comes in the house with a puppy, whom we named Indiana Jones. Yeah, and he was as much a scallywag as the guy on the silver screen. And here I was, a kid from New York, never had a pet before in my life. And, you know, I'm like, you know, why are you bringing home a puppy? He said, well, we talked about it. And I said, yeah, I thought we talked about maybe we'll get a puppy someday. And he basically said, well, someday is here. So I'm left alone with this puppy and trying to figure out how to work it. And I'm, you know, New York kid. Where do you put the token in to start it? And I finally realized a few things, like, you know, I mean, okay, he's a baby. No matter how many times you've let him out, when he's standing by the door with his legs crossed and his eyes crossed, you need to let him out once again.
Yep.
Simple things like that. Anyway, bringing home that dog brought one of the most wonderful things into my life that I've ever had. The joy of that dog and the other two that we've had along with Indy since then. But what he was doing was making something more precious than almost anything else in life. And it took me a while to realize it because I hadn't had it for a long time. That's a home. He was making a home for us.
Wow.
And I came from a broken family. I finished high school basically as a homeless person. When I was in college before I went in the Navy, I applied to be the editor of the campus paper because I knew if I got it, I could sleep in the newspaper office over vacations because I didn't have a home to go to. Home was a big issue for me. When I went into the Navy sort of became my home, but that doesn't really work.
Yeah.
And Tim made a home for me. And if I didn't owe him anything else, and I didn't love him for anything else, that is enough to fill a couple of lifetimes.
Yep.
Yeah. So you want moments? I got moments. I got moments.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, that's... See, I mean...
Well, thank
just,
you. So am I.
Huh?
I'm glad, too.
Yeah, I'm... It's just... You know, and I...
You
okay. Yeah, my phone is... we've talked so long, the battery's low. Hold on. Hello?
Yep.
Okay. Well, to our gentle listeners, I'm so sorry for that. My phone was actually beeping, and I had to switch phones. So if you heard any noise, which I'll try to edit out later,
sure,
you may not know. But anyway, see, the point I was trying to make is that, and I lost it, but... But the thing I wanted to make was just simply the fact that, you know, that's what makes the partnership great is that you have, and I'm happy to hear that you say that you have lots and lots of memories. And see, when I interviewed that lesbian couple, that was the first couple that I interviewed for the show, and I threw that question at them, and Mary, who is one, I mean, Mary and Don both are two fantastic people, and like I said, I really encourage you to listen to the show. And if for any new listeners who haven't listened to the show, I really would recommend that you go back and listen to episode number 9, 10, and 11, and they just talk about their relationship. But one of the things that was crucial for Mary was that she had been in a long-term relationship with a guy for 10 years, and then what had happened was it was starting to, you know, end, and that Don was in a long-term relationship with a woman, and it was starting to end. And what happened was that Don had feelings for Mary, but... You know, Mary at the time was a straight woman, but then what happened is Mary and Don continued to be friends, that Mary ended up having feelings for her. And so what happened is one day was, I don't know what caused her to do this, but she just simply called Mary called Don and said, I need to talk with you, and I need to do it now. And what they did then is she basically told Don that she loved her, and she wanted to be with her, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was Dawn was a little stunned at first, but then she realized that she obviously had feelings for Mary, and then a few days later, she said yes. And so what they did then is they went from two long-term relationships, they had to find a place for them to go,
mm-hmm.
and they had to go buy a house. They moved in with each other, and then not even a week later... Or, you know, I don't know if it was a week, but a short period later, Mary finds out that she has breast cancer.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And so, if that doesn't prove the test of relationship, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
And so, when I asked this question to Mary, and it brought tears not only to her eyes, but also to mine, because she said, when I knew that I had picked the right person, is when that home nurse came, and they were showing what I had to do to change the bandages, and that Dawn was there... 125,000%, and that she never flinched, and she never freaked out. She was always there. She said because she knew that she had to be there, and she knew she had to do everything she could to help her partner. And
yep.
And that was the moment. That was one of the moments for her. And then the other moment was when they had their first kiss, and that was on April 19th. And so it was just amazing how. you know, those little moments all play an important part. Like when I told you earlier about how my ex had went out of the way to be there for me and help me when I was sick. And I had my own little cancer thing, and he was there through the whole thing, and it was just, you know, amazing. And so, you know, and that's what I, you know, even though it's ended, that's one of the things that I will always love and respect him for.
Sure.
You know, for that. And so that's why when I talk to couples like yourself, and I want people to understand that, you know, if they're single and they're looking for someone and they just wish that they could have something like what you and I, that you have and what I had, that
the answer is you can.
And you can have it. And so, I just, you know, I hope that if anybody listens to this show, that if you get that message, then Gene and Tim and I did the right thing. So I hope that, you know, as you turn this show off, that you go to bed and you, or if you're with your partner, or if you don't have one, or you're seeing somebody, you know, just to make sure to tell them that you love them. And,
yes.
And just remember.
Keep dreaming, because they can come true.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's my second hope, is that I want to find Mr. Right and turn him into Mr. Redhead. So,
whoever gets you is going to be really lucky.
Well, thank you.
Quite a guy.
Well, thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Well, I think what we'll do then is, on that note, we'll go ahead and end this taping right here. But I just want to thank you again, Gene, for your time and your patience and, you know, simply you telling your story. And I want you to thank Tim. And when you get done, just go over there and give him a big hug.
No question about that.
And tell him that's from me or whatever.
And just thank you so much for asking us. I mean, I know this is something that has been really a pleasure and very meaningful to be able to participate in this.
Well, good. And I hopefully we can talk again, and then hopefully with the people that you know up there, and maybe some of your networking, we can get more people involved and see what we can do to continue the show's path that I want to take it. So, again, I can't thank you so much. So,
you're very, very welcome.
Okay.
All right.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and end the show today. So if you'd like to respond, please email me at rambleredhead@gmail.com. You can also go to the website at rambleredhead blogspot.com. And you also can call the comment line, which you can find right on the website. Again, it's rambleredhead.blogspot.com. So I'm going to end this part number 7 with Gene and Tim. And I'd like to thank you for listening, and talk to you soon.